This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Carmen Wong Ulrich. First up, jobs. Only 74,000 new jobs were created in December, and that's the bleakest number we've seen in 3 years. Now, in this climate, we know that millions of us have felt the sting of job loss. One high-profile case recently, though, the writer Will Blythe, he was let go from the website Byliner, and he was offered a standard 2-week severance package. This was in exchange for signing a non-disparagement clause. Well, Blythe declined, and he wrote about it in the New York Times. Now, 2 weeks' pay can be vital to some folks. So what are your rights when you're let go? And what can you do to protect yourself without leaving any money on the table? David Yamada is a professor of law at Suffolk University in Boston. Welcome, David.
Hi, Carmen. It's great to be on the show.
You know, when I think about folks who are leaving a job or being laid off, 2-week severance can really be a big deal. So is this something that folks can do, what Will Blythe did, or is this just his experience?
Well, I think it is an individual question. Will Blythe was in a position to say, you know what, I'm not going to sign that non-disparagement clause in return for 2-week severance. But there might be others for whom that severance is very important. They might need that money. So there are trade-offs in terms of that decision.
Yeah. And how common, though, are these clauses? Because, you know, in his line of work, when you're talking about journalism, there's a lot of intellectual property stuff. How common, though, across the board in other industries are these clauses?
Carmen, these clauses are becoming very, very common in separation situations. And oftentimes it's under conditions very similar to what Will Blythe wrote about. Maybe there's an agreement not to contest an unemployment claim, or there's a severance at stake. Conditions like that are very often attached to these non-disparagement clauses.
Does this have a lot to do, though, with social media? Because it seems like social media now has really become a megaphone for anybody and everybody.
Well, I think what you've seen over the recent years is the internet becoming that megaphone that you mentioned. You've got sites like eBoss Watch and Glassdoor and general sites such as YouTube and Yelp, where people are posting about their workplace experiences, sometimes good, sometimes bad, and at times very critical and on occasion hyperbolic. So I think there is some legitimate concern on the part of employers in terms of what former employees will say about them. I think there are some good and bad things, though, about these non-disparagement clauses as a general policy.
Yeah, you mentioned the good and bad, because I think a lot of folks don't read these agreements line by line. But it really is, do you think, in people's best interest to do so?
Well, they may not have much of a choice, right? Mm. At the time they're being terminated, they might have that severance on the table. They might have a request for unemployment benefits about to be filed. I think there are some things that people can do. For example, they could ask in return for signing that non-disparagement clause for a positive reference. Because for someone who's just lost their job, not only are they looking at replacing that missing income, but even more importantly is the opportunity to get new employment. And that positive reference could be a difference maker for them in the future. So there are more things that possibly somebody in that position could bring to the table.
There was another report that was just released by Pew Research. It's called Why It's Great to Be the Boss. And It shows really how bosses are more satisfied with their family life, their current job, their financial situation. So, you know, as we talk about inequality and all of this, it seems that they have the power to say, don't do something, here's some money. And employees tend to not feel like they have much power. But you bring up a point that they can ask for something in return.
Yes. But it is a more one-sided power relationship. Every year, the Gallup organization does a public opinion survey on worker satisfaction. And consistently, over the last 10 or 15 years, roughly 65 to 70% of respondents say that they don't feel connected or engaged with their workplace. Mm. So that's a constant figure that transcends the recession and the ups and downs of the economy. And in addition, you've got a lot of people feeling bullied and disrespected at the workplace. And unless you are a manager, you most likely don't have a lot of power to challenge those types of behaviors, especially for the vast majority of employees in the U.S. who are not members of labor unions.
David Yamada is professor of law and director of the New Workplace Institute at Suffolk University in Boston. David, thank you so much for joining us.
Carmen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me on your show.